This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, what's happening? Tink and Tierney ready to go on this Tuesday around the country. CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Network World Series tonight. Are we nearing a complete teardown in Seattle? And a new slant on the Ben Simmons situation. Let's rock it inside of our studio. It's the Rocket Mortgage Studio. Need to know what it takes for home to fit your budget and your family. Rocket can. Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Same thing on Instagram, Tiki and Tierney. YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. And as I said before, T, no shortage of things to kick around. World Series tonight. That should be fun. 10, 12, 13 days, whatever. We'll get into an interesting conversation about Seattle. Could be nearing a complete teardown. And also, some new stuff on Ben Simmons. What's happening, buddy?
Yeah, all's good, man. How boring was that game?
Horrendous.
It was one of the
worst. It was really rough. I watched more basketball than I watched that. 100%. I couldn't watch that game.
I wanted to stick in and say, this is going to turn around. And then I realized Geno Smith is not going to do anything.
Nope.
And Jameis Winston, while he can, is not doing anything. It became like
that was tough to watch.
It became tedious to watch.
It felt like work.
That's exactly
which
right.
Really doesn't happen too much in our business.
That's exactly
we're kind of lucky. Felt like I was working.
That's exactly
what
right.
What is this? This is foreign work.
It's supposed to be a game. It's supposed to be fun.
You know,
it was a rough game
that
to
was
watch
bad,
last
dude.
Night.
But I'm, you know, I forgot about the Manning cast.
And that's I did. I flipped over to the Manning
cast. On purpose or you just...
On purpose.
I forgot about
because people were tweeting about it because Marshawn was on it.
Hammerback shots of Hennessy.
Exactly. And Tom Brady was on it.
Yep.
And
that Tom was
actually interesting because he breaks it down in a different way.
Yeah.
Like he's thinking about a football game from his perspective.
That's right.
Which was actually really cool. And then Carly Lloyd was on there and others. So it's the only reason it was enjoyable. And I don't usually love the Manning cast because I think it's stiff sometimes.
Yeah.
But it was good last night because the game was so bad.
That's true. I think if you have a good game, you might not want that
That's
other
right.
stuff.
That's right.
When you have a horrendous game, you put on the comedy show. And Marshawn adds to that, as we said. I was actually, the way my cable's set up, I think you have probably the same one where, you know, you get like ESPN's 570, right?
Yeah.
And you go north, and I was trying to get to NBA TV.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was watching, I was trying to get the basketball. I'm like, oh, wow, that's right, the Manning cast is on. So I put those guys on for a little bit. Poor Eli, he's just kind of hanging there. Even Jen came out, she said, you know, I feel bad for Eli. He, like, never really gets a word in. He's just kind of sitting there.
Because his brother is this.
The big ham bone.
He's the man,
he is a camera hog, Peyton, isn't he? Camera hog.
Peyton's the best.
No, he's great with the jersey, though, and... you know, it's that was a rough game. There's no way around it. It was a tough one, and I'm looking forward to the conversation about what does Seattle do? You know, I mean, I thought Pete Carroll had an interesting statement. He said, you know, last night postgame, if Russell Wilson wasn't here as long as he's been, I'm probably not here as long as I've been. Let me correct you. You're definitely not there as long as you've been.
Agreed.
I mean, because without Russell Wilson, that team stinks. They are really rough to watch, even him and his cornball self. He is a master player, and we'll talk about that next segment. All right, so I got a few questions here about the 49ers. Let's talk about the 49ers for a little bit. This was something we were going to get into yesterday, and obviously it was a busy football Monday. We kind of punted to today. I know that Shanahan's a good coach.
Yeah.
I do know. I'm not here to say he's not. I am here to ask the question, at what point does the 2019 Super Bowl run, I know they've had a lot of injuries, a lot of teams have, it's the NFL, but at what point, and maybe we're getting there now, I sense by what others were saying today, maybe we are. For some, when does the Super Bowl run get pushed off to the side and the evaluation more is about the recent snapshot, yeah, which is not very favorable?
Well, I think you have to push it off sooner rather than later when you don't win. Mm-hmm. And it is what it is. It sucks because if you get to a Super Bowl, you're still a good team and maybe a great coach, but you didn't win it. Mm-hmm. So you're not a great coach. Mm-hmm. Like you're just a step below it.
Yep.
And so all of those accolades and platitudes you get thrown your way, they're not fully consummated.
Uh-huh.
And so if he had won that Super Bowl, we couldn't say jack for another couple of years, right? This is how he's a Super Bowl winning head coach. We can't say anything about him. We got to believe that he knows how to get there and win one, and he's going to get back again espousing the same things. Jimmy Garoppolo's our guy because he gives us the best chance to win right now. Well, got to tell you, Jimmy Garoppolo's not really your guy, and he doesn't give you the best chance to win right now because he's not an athlete. He doesn't run around. He doesn't extend plays. He doesn't vary your offense mm-hmm. with zone reads that have taken over the game. His intended air yards per pass attempt, I dug into the advanced statistics.
Oh, here we go. Nerdy Tiki showing up on a Tuesday.
6.9, which Daniel Jones is like 8.4.
Okay.
Right? Which just gives you an example of where he is. He basically dinks and dunks his way around the football field. And if you have a stout run game, I guess that works.
Yep, right? Which they have had in spurts.
And that's why they got to the Super Bowl. 200-plus yards by Raheem Mostert on the ground in the NFC Championship game. You don't need your quarterback to do anything. But when you get some injuries, as you mentioned, BT, your run game is not as explosive. It's still good.
Yeah.
I mean, they rush for over 100 yards a game, but mm-hmm. it's not explosive like it. You need your quarterback to be able to take that next step, and Jimmy Garoppolo is not that guy.
Yeah.
And Kyle Shanahan is still pushing that he's the man. He can get us there, and it's clearly becoming, that's not the case any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Trey Lance is not ready.
He's not ready.
But create something, you know, find a way. And it's not, we haven't seen it. This is four straight losses, BT.
I know it is.
For the San Francisco 49ers. Yep. They had some pretty high expectations this year, mm-hmm. and they're not even going to get close to them.
No, they're going to be a team that probably has 7 wins. Can they go 7-10? Yeah. I mean, all right, that might even be a bit ambitious at this point.
Don't disagree.
That division is a beast. I mean, listen, the 5-year accomplishments here, it's very top-heavy in the 1 year. I mean, mm-hmm. you're talking about six. Now, it was a rebuild because after Jim Harbaugh, they went in the tank. There's no question. So when he was hired, it's not like Staley going to somewhat of a ready-made situation where they've got talent and you just got to tweak a few things. I mean, they had to reboot a lot of things in San Francisco. Okay, so the 6-10 of the first year, no big deal. But then, all right, 2018, next year, year 2, 4-12. Okay, then you have the Super Bowl. So there's this nice spike. Year 3, any fan base will sign up for that. Year 3 of a new coach, Super Bowl appearance, yeah, we'll do that. Mm-hmm. Then last year was the regression, ton of injuries, starting with at MetLife, the yep. Jets and the Giants in back-to-back weeks, and they complained about that, and I get it. And now here we are, you know, 2-0 start to the season. They've lost 4 straight. And even with the Super Bowl run, he's still late games below 500. And if you strip that away, he's 18-36. And I can throw all the numbers at you that I can possibly conjure up, but I'm going to just ask a question. Has Jimmy Garoppolo gotten any better?
Mm.
I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, to me, seems to be the same player that showed up from New England.
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo with the Pats was pretty good.
Yeah.
And early on, Jimmy Garoppolo with the Niners was pretty good.
Couldn't lose.
Hadn't gotten better.
Couldn't lose, right? Remember?
Yep.
7 in a row or whatever it was.
Yes.
Didn't lose.
Correct.
And then he kind of plateaued.
He has not gotten better. So when we talk about, like, there are certain things that we kind of accept, and then it just hits us like, well, why am I still accepting this? Like, I hear all the time, oh, Shanahan, one of the top 5 coaches in the NFL. Why?
Well, I mean,
because everybody says it?
No, I think it's because he's in that group, and it's him and Sean McVay and
Belichick, Sean Payton.
Well, no,
he's not
no,
my top
no,
five.
No, no, no. I'm talking about this young group of coordinators.
Oh, I see where you're going.
Who came in, like, so
still
it's him.
Theoretically ascending.
Yeah,
types.
Yeah. And Sean McVay.
Okay.
I guess Staley is now in this conversation mm-hmm. as well. There's a few
gotta
others.
Maybe Zach Taylor put in there.
Zach Taylor.
Got to start putting Zach in there.
Absolutely, Zach Taylor should be in this one. LaFleur, Matt LaFleur, not Mike. Matt LaFleur.
Of course, I've got the wrong LaFleur,
exactly.
too.
Exactly. he's in, like all these young minds. Like, oh, we're going to do all of this motion pre-snap. It's going to help our young quarterback identify man. You know, we're gonna do zone reads and bubble screens and bring this college experience to the National Football League, and we have the guys that can execute it. And so they get this, it looks like exciting football. And so that's why they get this tag that they're this football guru. Arthur Smith is in this one as well, obviously. But at the end of the day, it's about production. And if you don't have the talent, and I think that's maybe one of the issues is that right now the San Francisco 49ers don't have the talent to do it. And, you know, there's a reason they drafted Trey Lance in the first round. They moved up to draft Trey Lance in the first round. It's because I think he knows Jimmy Garoppolo might be holding him back. And by the way, that might be Kyle Shanahan's saving grace, is that he doesn't have a quarterback right now that can get it done for him. And so he's going to say, hey, I don't have my quarterback. Wait till Trey Lance turns into the guy. Then we'll be good to go.
Yeah, it's not working.
Yeah, BT's mic is off, so we got to figure we'll figure out. Yeah, but I think that's the biggest thing about, you know, this situation is that, look, I don't look at this as a quarterback controversy, a pending controversy in San Francisco. I know some people will position it that way, especially because Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't looked good the last couple of weeks. But Trey Lance, it's more of a quandary. It's like, what do you do if you're Kyle Shanahan at this point? Do you stick with Jimmy Garoppolo and you realize that, man, he's limited. He's not throwing the ball down the field. I got to do a lot of misdirections just to get him, you know, free away from traffic in the middle of the offense. And, you know, there's a lot of bootlegs. Relying on the run game. But I think we can take history and apply it here. The San Francisco 49ers at 2-5 right now, I think their record is at 2-4 they are actually. At 2-4, they're not making the postseason, especially in the NFC, which has become top heavy, right? There's some really good teams, bunch of 5-1 teams, a couple 6-1 teams. The Arizona Cardinals are 7-0. Dallas and Green Bay, Tampa, even New Orleans is actually looking okay. Arizona, Los Angeles Rams. The 49ers aren't making the postseason this year the way that they're playing. And so as we always see with young quarterbacks, why not just play the young quarterback? Right, just play the young quarterback and let him learn on the job, as opposed to delaying the inevitable. That's really my issue with Kyle Shanahan. It's not that, you know, he's not a football guru, an offensive guru. It's more about you see what's happening to you with Jimmy Garoppolo at the helm. Eventually, Trey Lance has to be your guy. You got to stop saying that Jimmy G gives us the best chance to win, because he clearly doesn't with 4 weeks in a row of straight losses. Here's Kyle Shanahan being asked about the starter in next week's game.
Will you stick with Jimmy Garoppolo as your starting quarterback next week against the Bears?
I would guess so. You know, I'm going to watch this tape and see if guys are healthy, first of all. And I know where our guys are at. It was good for Jimmy to be able to get healthy enough to play in this game today.
Yeah, I mean, he wants him to get him healthy enough to play. But, to me, this is really about his decisions going forward. Forget the right now. I know it's easy to look at the right now and try to figure out what's going on in the right now. But Kyle Shanahan's got to look towards his future more than anything, because the right now is looking bad with Jimmy G at the helm.
Yeah, good job with that, Teak. I'm sorry, I don't know what happened with the mic button over here, but I think we've got it fixed. Listen, I'm not even talking about scheme. I'm just talking about perception.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand there's always context to reasons for success and failure, and I think it's irresponsible not to incorporate them, like to just forget about Shanahan for a moment, to just bury a coach that is bereft of talent. That's the easy way. If they're not having results, if there's no success, that's the easy. Anybody could do that. But I think, you know, you want to dig a little bit deeper. You know, how's the O-line? Is there any talent? How's the rest of the staff? Blah, blah, blah. What kind of division are you in? Is it a young team? There's a lot of reasons why the 49ers probably are failing short of what we all thought they were destined to be for a couple of years. But that doesn't mean that in real time we can at least recalibrate for now how we feel, where he rates.
Well, to me,
where he ranks.
To me, a lot of it.
Let me ask you a question. If, like, Bellinger, all right, who won an MVP and then all of a sudden couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat, are we still getting on the air saying Bellinger's, he's one of the top five players in baseball?
No, of course not.
No, because he's been hitting the buck 70 for the past 2 years.
Well, the challenge of putting it on a coach is the coach isn't actually taking the snaps. I mean, look, they played great.
Then why do we give them so much credit when they succeed? It's got to be equitable.
Well, I think in a large part is because we look at Jimmy Garoppolo and we say, okay, he's not a great quarterback, but they got to the Super Bowl.
I like them. I got to tell you, Teague, I know the what I feel about Jimmy today, it's diminished. 3-4 years ago, I'm like, this guy's good.
Yeah.
Decent enough athlete. I don't disagree, but
I didn't know. I never thought his ceiling was very high. Yeah. Like, there was always something limiting about him. And then he started
unlimited.
Yeah. No, he's not Russell next. Wilson. No. But he started getting hurt frequently. When a guy is consistently hurt, you just start to lose faith. Now, they played Green Bay tight. They only lost by two. They lost the Seahawks, but that was at home. They lost by a touchdown. They lost the Cardinals. This was one of the more surprising games. The Cardinals are elite offensively and defensively. They only lost that one on the road by a touchdown. And then they looked horrible last week against Indianapolis, albeit in a rainstorm.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like you want to evaluate based on results, but context does kind of matter here. And so I could, if I was homerish, if I was looking on the side of the 49ers, I could make an excuse for every single one of their losses and say, yeah, but I could qualify Green Bay, qualify Seattle, qualify Arizona, qualify Indiana.
I know what you're saying.
You could qualify it all. But the really good coaches that have really good teams and good players at the important position, namely quarterback, they you don't need to qualify.
That's
them,
right.
Right? They find ways to win them. And so I think we're at the point where, you know, we have to start reevaluating how we're looking at this team and the head coach. Not that he's in a danger of getting fired.
No, not implying that at all. Not at all.
Not at all.
Just
he'll be there for as long as, you know, 2 or 3 more years.
I would imagine. Yep.
It's more about what's he doing to prove that he's still elite.
Yes, rather than just kind of throwing that out there and everybody accepting it as fact. I mean, you know, we maybe need to reshape the narrative a bit. That's it. No, this is not about hot seat. This is not about who's going to take. No. That's not even remotely implied. Shanahan's much more of an asset than a detriment.
No doubt.
But when you're throwing around top five, top six in the NFL, I need more results than 31-39 during his time there. 5 years so far in San Francisco. 5 years plus. All right, coming up. So we've got conservative Jameis. I got to be honest with you. I'm not digging it. Not real fun.
He's winning.
I know. He won the game. And also the flip side, talking about franchises where maybe that allure is dissipating, Seattle.
Yeah.
We've seen Seattle without Russ, and that's obvious. They're not very good. Is it possibly time to blow it up from both the head coach position and the quarterback spot? We'll talk about that coming up next. Hickey and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. What makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination? Because they offer free battery testing and charging and reliable replacement batteries. And they've always got your battery solution. Get in the zone, AutoZone. So Mike Tomlin shooting down those USC rumors as only Mike Tomlin can. We'll hit that. World Series, we'll get to that as well. Inbounds, out of bounds, coming up next segment. Will Middlebrooks on that third hour as well. Our buddy from CBS Sports HQ, former Red Sox MLB analyst, and hour two, Matthew Judon, terrific linebacker for the Pats, who Let's call for what it is. What a little low on my boy, Zach Wilson. I mean, Matthew Judon went a little dirty. I'm going to have to ask him about that. No flex. I'm going to ask him. No flex.
I think he just canceled on us.
He went a little low. You better believe. I'm going to ask him with a smile, but I'm going to have to ask him.
He just canceled on us.
He just canceled on us?
Yes.
Good. I'll be honest with you. Now, you know your partner. If he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it.
I definitely would
have gotten into
That's probably why he canceled.
Well, I don't know about that, but when I saw the rundown.
He heard you going in on him like that. He's like, hold on. Hey, Samter, I'm out. I'm out.
Good player.
I don't want BT.
Listen, I got respect for Matthew Judon. He's a really good pro, but he went a little twice. You know, I don't like what the Pats were doing to Zach Wilson this past week, and I liked less that the NFL didn't throw flags when they went at the knees. Both should have been penalties. Either way, when I saw the rundown today, I said, I don't want to talk to Matthew Judon. I swear to God. But because the Pats are showing, you know, some life here and coming off a win where they scored almost 60 and they're starting to vibe a little bit, I thought we owed it to our audience to, you know, me put my personal bias aside, which I was willing to do, but I'm not going to front. I'm happy he canceled because it may have gotten ugly.
Good.
All right. Getting a little ugly in Seattle. I mean, you know, Geno throws a nice pass and then Geno flushes from the pocket early and then Geno puts one on the turf and then Geno... At the end of the day, Geno Smith just resorts back to being Geno Smith, which has always been a player, even at West Virginia, you know, great highlight reel, you know, even sustained runs of being good.
Yeah.
And then at the most inopportune time, again, making the wrong decision as he did a couple of weeks ago when he ended the game on the fumble, obviously, so against the Steelers. I think that Seattle, and I don't think that you would disagree, they're going nowhere this year based on Wilson not coming back anytime soon.
Nope.
So rather than waste America's time on does Seattle have a chance to do anything this year, I think the more poignant angle, and I'm going to let you take us in the direction however you want us, and I'll follow you, I'll follow you lead here. If Russell Wilson demands a trade more aggressively, and he might because this thing is going to be ugly by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah.
If he really wants out, do you just clean the slate and just start over with a new head coach as well? Given the age of Pete Carroll, I'm not age shaming. He's a youthful 70. I love Pete, but it is what it is.
Yeah, the problem with doing that is it's so hard to find every right piece. You know what I mean? And this is conditional, obviously, on Russell Wilson saying I'm done. I want to go someplace else.
Yes,
and we highlighted this yesterday. There's any number of places he could potentially go because of teams that need quarterbacks, whether it's Washington or...
Who
knows? If
endless. Pittsburgh.
Exactly. Pittsburgh with Tom Brady.
Miami.
Tom Brady could say, I'm done. I doubt it, but he could say, I'm done. Tampa. There's just a ton of places that actually need quarterbacks. Not like double digits, but there's probably six or seven that are going to need a quarterback. And Russell Wilson's still in his prime. And so... if he looks at those other situations and says, I'm out, then you really have to consider what you're suggesting, BT. Now, the thing, though, for Seattle is it's really hard to start over. Like, you got to go find a new coach, and what's your philosophy with that new coach? Are you going young, unproven, maybe a college guy, or are you going to go a veteran who's been looking for a chance like a Bruce Arians type, you know what I mean? Or even Vic Fangio, even though he hasn't quite had the success as Bruce Arians, but still, there's different philosophies. You go with someone who's experienced, or do you go someone with who's young? Mm-hmm. And if you go with a young coach, you know what's going to happen with a rebuilt roster and a young quarterback as well. You're going to get mediocrity at best.
If you're lucky, yes.
At best, you're getting mediocrity.
Okay.
And for a Seattle fan base, I mean, bless them. They've been lucky, man.
Because they've had
a viable opportunity to be a postseason team for a decade and a half.
They've been in the game. They've been dealt decent cards for well over a decade.
That's right.
Straight.
That's right.
No interruptions.
Even if you go back to Hasselbeck and Sean Alexander.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
It's been a long time.
That's true.
And so if
Hasselbeck was pretty good for a couple years there. He was pretty good.
He just got put in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
So what took him to a Super Bowl as well. Mm-hmm. If you do what you're saying and strip it down, it's going to be a torture for this fan base. Because it's been a long time since they've had to be bad. And know they're going to be bad.
But that's why I don't think it's torturous. Because of their recent history. Extended history.
Yeah.
I think it creates an understanding and a willingness to accept a new path with some rocky early results. The hardest thing to do is to continuously sell the fan base that is beaten up to a bloody pulp, new coach, new GM, new quarterback, rinse, repeat, try it again, where there's nothing concrete, there's no evidence to believe in that ownership will get it right. If you're and I can't speak for Seattle Seahawks fans, but even from the Steelers' point of view, like if the not the Tomlin's going in, we'll get to him with the USC rumors later. But if Big Ben completely starts over, if Ben's gone and Rodgers does not wind up there, and they hand the football to a 23-year-old kid, I mean, Steeler fans would have to trust management, ownership, Tomlin, and even if there's some turbulence early, their viewing pleasure for 15 years has been cherished.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you not accept? You don't just get a lifetime competitive card.
Yeah,
that's true. Peaks and valleys,
that's
dude.
True. Well, I think the only reason it would be hard to swallow for Seattle Seahawks fans is because Russell Wilson, as we just said, is still in his prime.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's true.
And
that is true.
And so if you acquiesce to his trade demand and say, all right, Russ, we're going to trade you wherever you want to go. Get out of here. We got to start over anyways. Like, it all of a sudden, this emotion, like this great feeling of emotion for Russell Wilson goes out the door, and it flips. I don't know how I would feel if I'm a Seahawks fan.
And meaning, would you have resentment toward Russell?
Yes.
Yes. I think at that point you would. You'll always cherish the championship, but I've said this before, when somebody so directly states, obviously through their agent, but that's communicated from the player's heart, I no longer want to play for this team.
Yeah, and that's
what it would be. The fans of that team, we take it personally.
Yeah.
Even if it's partly the organization's fault.
Yeah.
We're like, this guy's abandoning us. That's just the way we compartmentalize things. Now, my first choice, I'm on bended knee begging this guy to stay. Mm-hmm. I'm begging Russell Wilson to stay. That's my first choice.
And then
obviously Pete Carroll stays. If he's adamant that he wants to bounce...
And do you think he will be?
I think that this will be the year that he's going to really want to jump on a different carousel. I do. Yeah, mm-hmm. I do. So I think they're going to have a real tough decision because I think Russ will make the first part of the decision for them by declaring, I'm ready to move on.
Yeah. Do you think he'll do it publicly?
No, I think he'll be smooth about it.
Yeah.
I think he learned his lesson from last year. He's too polished to do that again.
I agree.
Okay. So once that happens... Then I think the decision of staying with Carroll or rebooting with a new coach, me, and I love Pete, respectfully, I'd go for option number two. Then off of the new coach decision, you've got to decide veteran retread or whatever, or youthful. I would go with the youthful guy. Because, listen, they don't even have a first-round pick next year.
No.
They gave it to Jamal Adams.
Yep.
In the trade to the Jets. So, right now, I was looking at Tankathon earlier. The Jets have the eighth pick. That's Seattle and their own fourth. That's Seattle's pick.
Yeah.
And it's not even a good quarterback class anyway. So, I don't know. Maybe you sign Mitch Trubisky. Maybe you do something. Who knows what you do. But even if Russ stays next year, they're not winning.
No, you're right.
They're not winning big.
The roster is compromised.
Defense stinks. You paid Adams too much.
Yep.
O-line ain't good enough. I think it's time.
It's run its course. Yeah, it feels like that.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, sometimes You hate to say this about really good coaches, maybe great coaches like Pete Carroll. You hate to say it because you don't ever want it to happen. You don't ever want to say, it's over, man.
Right? That message died a bit.
That hold. Pat on the back.
Yeah,
it's over, man.
Good job, buddy.
Yeah, you hate that.
It's not fun.
But it's the reality of the business. It's the reality of the business,
yeah.
And it feels like it's coming. Not feels like. It is. It's here. I mean, they're 2-5. They're not winning anything this year. The division is tough. They're not beating Arizona. They're not beating L.A.
Nope.
I mean, heck, if San Francisco gets if Trey Lance comes in and starts balling, throwing the ball downfield, which Jimmy G doesn't, who knows if they can even beat San Francisco. So they're not winning this year, which means they're not winning next year, and Russell Wilson's not going to want to be there because he doesn't want to be on a loser.
That's what I'm saying. And I think the perfect time to restock the cupboards with incredibly premier draft equity would be this offseason.
Of course, because then you can get maybe a first-rounder back for Russell Wilson.
Maybe. I mean, if I'm trading Russell, maybe?
Yeah.
I'm asking for minimum three.
Really?
Russell Wilson? Mm. Absolutely. The Texans were asking for four.
Yeah, but Deshaun Watson's 20.
Because he's younger?
He's 26 years old.
Yeah, I understand that.
Russell Wilson is, what, 33?
33?
Yeah, 33.
Okay, 33.
33.
And he's an Iron Man. Outside of that, you know, wacky throwing the ball, finger hitting the helmet, it's not like it was something that just shows signs of,
yeah,
of attrition or deterioration. This guy's going to play until he's 40.
Yeah, next
you
week.
You and I both believe that.
Next month he's 33.
Yeah, so he's still 32.
Yeah.
I mean, and the way quarterbacks keep on playing late, I mean, I would, there's no doubt I would do. And by the way, because we heard Houston wanted, you know, multiple first round picks and multiple players that are ready to play now.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even want that. I would almost want all draft picks for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, get yourself.
Start over.
Let yourself start over. Yeah, it's just hard to find that new coach and then the philosophy, right?
Well,
that's that. I think that's really the hard thing. I mean, I look at this with our teams, right? Our Giants and the Jets, like for the last decade, really longer for you, but for the decade for the Giants, it's both of us. It's like, what's the philosophy?
I don't know.
Like, what's the plan?
Lose.
Exactly.
And get so, embarrassed.
So when you lose a star quarterback.
I've never had one, I wouldn't know.
You haven't, but I'm just saying in general. Mm-hmm. When you lose a star quarterback, that's now that's what's plopped on the desk of ownership and the general manager. What's the plan? And everybody has an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's get the line. Let's get the quarterback. Let's, you know, let's get a skill position player. Let's build up the defense. Washington built up defense. Didn't work, right? Some teams go get a quarterback. Doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Some teams go get an offensive line. Doesn't really work, right? Like, everybody's going to have an idea of how to get it back on the right path, and you just don't know if
it's
going to work.
Not saying it's easy.
So my point for the Seahawks is that if they decide to go this route, they're going into the great unknown of sport. Like, how to rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no right answer to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. No, I can't refute that. That's true. Axe update right now. We'll get inbounds out about something on the Bears. Also something on the Bulls. Bulls look really good. Will they sustain this? We'll get to that after Axe update right now. Here's Rich. All right, TK and Tierney back, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Inbounds out of bounds coming up in a moment. First, though, Player of the Week, time for that. Brought to you by Grainger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week. It's Bengals rookie wideout, Ja'Marr Chase. Smart enough to draft him back in late August. In Sunday's 41-17 win over the Ravens, Chase caught 8 passes for 201, and he scored a touchdown as well. He ranks second in the league in receiving yards. He's got 754. He's behind Cooper Kupp only, and he's fourth in touchdowns. He's got 6, so the rook balling out, as are the Bengals. Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. For all the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry backed by 24-7 support and access to product experts. Call or click Grainger.com/safety or stop on by. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Next hour, Mike Tomlin. I mean, let's be honest, a lot of these coaches are pretty slippery. They refute claims or reports. Mm-hmm. I don't really believe him. I believe Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
I believe
do as
him.
Well, that was a little vicious.
Nothing ambiguous about that.
Nope.
We'll tell you what he said, and we'll play it for you about the USC rumblings that Carson Palmer dragged him into unexpectedly yesterday on the Dan Patrick Show. A little something on Ben Simmons as well. And we'll get to Deshaun Watson, the line of suitors potentially growing as we approach the November 2 trade deadline. All that and more coming up. A little World Series stuff as well. Right now, inbounds, out of bounds. Here we go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki. Number one, the Bears fell to 3-4 after a 38-3 drubbing by the Bucks. Now, Bucks in the game. Justin Fields, a rough one. 5 total turnovers, sacked 4 times all the season. He's been dumped 22 times. That's a league best, even though he's only started 5 games. He's only dropped back 131 times. They are not protecting him.
No.
He's got a 14.4 sack rate, by far the highest in the NFL. No other quarterback going down more than 10% of his attempts. So they are failing the young quarterback so far. In or out here, Teague, the Bears should bench Fields, if only to keep him healthy and avoid ruining him long-term. In or out?
Out of bounds, BT. You can't bench him because he's got to learn you know, how to play in these tough situations. But my bigger issue, we went in on Matt Nagy a couple of weeks ago, BT, for how he called that first start with – actually, it wasn't even a start. It was just, you know, when he was in the game with Justin Fields, and he got destroyed, right? Sacked 9 times in that game, hit like 20 or something like that. And no protection. You have a, you know, 5-man protection, and they're bringing 6, and he got killed. Well, after this past game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Matt Nagy went in on Justin Fields again, basically blaming him for not being able to process and learn stuff as it's happening in real time, and saying, you know, we as a coaching staff, we're trying to teach him. And in fact, there was a play where they went into his helmet and told him, there's 12 men on the field, snap the ball quickly.
Yep.
And he threw an interception. It was the first one of the game. And he ended up throwing an interception. Right?
Well, because the penalty was not on them, so it counted.
That's right. It was not.
They're like, snap it quick, hurry, throw the ball, 12 men on the field.
12 men on
the
field.
So he snapped it, threw a pick. It counted.
And then Matt Nagy was
like, thanks, coach.
And then Matt Nagy's response to this was, you know, he's got to understand when, you know, when he can make that decision or not. It's like, you've told him.
You told him to.
That's
almost fireable right there. I got to be honest with you. That's egregious.
I'm concerned about how he's treating his star draft pick.
It's like he's trying to sabotage the kid. You know he's not trying, but it seems like he's trying to.
What did I tell you off the record 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, you did kind of tap dance around that, hinted at some stuff like that.
Right.
Listen, I'm going to say out of bounds. I wouldn't bench him either. Provided you have the right person. And I know we could all reference David Carr, sacked 72 times, whatever it was, by the Texans, never the same. All right, I know it's easy to say David Carr would have been a star if the Texans. Nobody knows that. I'm not saying he wouldn't have been, but maybe he was just destined to be a first overall pick who was not quite as good as they thought.
Yeah,
nobody knows. Listen, if you have the right person wired the right way, as long as he doesn't physically get hurt, he'll come out of the stronger on the other side.
Yeah,
provided he's got better coaching.
Yeah,
because this is ugly stuff. I'm with you. Out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
Man, oh, man. I mean, that would be like Santer. You know, I mean, not quite nearly as important, obviously. But, like, if Santer's like, no, it's not about you, Mike. It's about, like, I don't know. We were supposed to have Matthew Judon right now. Pardon me, 20 minutes from now. And Santer's in my ear. Hey, we've got Judon. He just called in. And I'm like, all right, joined now by Matthew Judon. And he's not there. I wouldn't get mad at Santer because he would never do that. But I mean, why would you tell me he's there?
That's right.
If he's not there?
That's right.
That's what the Bears did to Fields.
I know. And,
wow.
and then blamed it on Fields.
Exactly.
It's like,
God. All right, staying in the Windy City, the Bulls. Listen, I told you I liked the trade last year. Some of the things they did, but they had COVID. They didn't have enough time to gel with Vucevic. This team's interesting.
Yeah.
They're 4-0. They took out the Raptors last. Raptors aren't good, but it's the first time since Chicago, or Chicago's won its first four since 96-97, when MJ and company won title number 5. Now, they got DeMar DeRozan, Lonzo Ball looking sharp. DeRozan dropped 22 while Lonzo put up 14 and 5 assists. The Bulls will be a top 4 team this season. Good question. In or out?
I'm going to say in the East or just in total?
In the East. My bad. In the East.
I'm going to say out of bounds of that.
You're still not buying them.
They've beaten the Raptors and the Pistons twice.
All right.
I mean, the Pistons are not going to win a lot of games this year. Look, they are good. I remember, you know, you talking about this team last year as well, you know, saying they would find a way back. And, yeah, you know what they're doing? So what's the question? I don't even know. Out of bounds. I think the Nets end up finding their way. I think that Milwaukee, obviously, is there as well. Boston has looked pretty good. And Miami.
The Bulls looked okay.
They looked okay, but I'm going to say Miami.
Okay. Yep.
Atlanta.
I like Miami.
Atlanta's going to climb.
Yep.
Philly, I think, gets it right, especially if they figure out this whole Ben Simmons stuff. So I'm going to say out of bounds. I think they're just below it. Even though they're fun. Let's put it that way. They're a fun team to watch.
See, but when you say that they're fun, that is minimizing how good they are.
I know.
Like, they
I'm
are
not
fun, but they're good. Like, there's some teams that aren't that good that are fun. They're pretty good, man.
I know it's early, man. And they've beaten the Pistons twice.
I know who they've beaten.
And the Raptors, who are full rebuild.
Understood. But I would encourage you to go back to last year when they were right at the cut line for a playoff spot. And then LaVine came down with COVID.
Yeah.
They bottomed out. Vucevic didn't have enough time to get this thing going. Like, first of all, DeMar DeRozan is a certified bucket getter when you need one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a crunch time bucket getter or get to the stripe. LaVine, to me, I don't care what anybody says. Zach LaVine, to me, is a top 15, top 18 player in the NBA. Zach LaVine's a star.
Well, let's see what he does against the Knicks on Thursday night.
Well, he's going to lose to the Knicks, of course. But I mean, like, well, you know, honestly, I don't even know what the game is. I think that the Bulls will finish better than the Knicks.
In Chicago.
It's in Chicago.
Then they play
Bulls will win that game.
Then they play the Jazz.
Yep.
Then they play the Boston.
Good team. No, listen, good teams.
And then back-to-back.
I'm not saying they're a 60-win team, but the two teams that I think that you and I have been a
little. And then the Nets, and then the Dallas Mavericks. And the
Dallas Mavericks aren't good. Dallas Mavericks stink.
Okay. Golden State Warriors, the Clippers.
Right, we're going to run down the whole schedule here.
I understand
everybody's going to play everybody. We know the good teams.
There's a good shot that they're going to go from 4-0 to like 6-4.
Okay. I think they're going to surprise some teams and in return surprise you a little bit with their overall potency. But I will say this, that you and I were in alignment to start the season. Nets, Philly, top tier of the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
I am prepared today. Now, they won't be better than the Bucks. They won't be better than the Heat. Heat picking up Lowry. I think there is a chance that Kyle Lowry. I think there was a even like the pauses are in sync. I've been working with this guy way too long. It's like sitting there looking at my wife, talking to my wife, finishing the sentence. I think that they will finish higher than either or maybe both the Nets and Philly. Maybe not Atlanta. So I'm not saying they're definite top four, but they're going to finish ahead of teams or a team or teams plural that before the opening night hit us, we all assumed would easily be in front of the Bulls. Bulls are pretty good.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teak. The World Series begins tonight in Houston. However, once the season ends, baseball is going to have some major looming financial issues. Many believe it's, quote, almost certain the sport's going to see its first work stoppage in 26 years when the labor contract ends. That's on December 2nd. Now, with uncertainty surrounding the luxury tax, most GMs will likely hold off on signing players, and some worry that the free agency period will be in a freeze until late March. Remember, we had a lot of free agents a couple of years ago. They had their own spring training. Remember that?
That circus.
Now, the best ones will get signed, but a lot of the middle ones probably going to have an issue. In or out, we're worried about a potential lockout and what that could mean for the 2022 season.
I mean, you have to be, BT. I'm not overly worried about it because I think they figure it out. I mean, they know, you know. So I'm going to say out of bounds and I'm not worried, but You can't help but think about it. If the players are feeling dissatisfied, one, because of the mistrust that was thrown on the table during COVID, that COVID season, and this lack of real negotiating on how to get a season played. You know, Manfred comes out and basically says, yeah, we knew we weren't going to play a whole, you know, we were going to play 70 games anyway. We're going to play 20, whatever. How many games did they play?
60.
We're only going to play 70 games anyways from the very beginning. We just basically paid them lip service. It created this monster, this massive distrust between the Major League Baseball and the Players Association. So I'm not worried that there's going to be a lockout and the season's going to get canceled.
Yep.
But I am worried about the relationship and discussions and how acrimonious they're going to be.
You took the word out of my mouth. There was a lot of acrimony and a lot of residue from that. The acrimonious nature to that, you know, those dealings, you know, with COVID and the season and the payment. I mean, there's a lot of healings and a lot of wounds that have still yet to heal, I should say. I think that my answer is out of bounds in the sense that, listen, I look at it, and maybe I'm just selfish, but I look at it from my point of view. Will my baseball viewing pleasure be interrupted? Will spring training have a lengthy delay, pushback? No, I don't believe so. Will we have a truncated season? Will we lose games because of a strike or a stoppage? My answer is no. So I do believe we'll get a full slate of 162. I believe the tensions will be raw and inflamed, but I think the average consumer will not feel the effect of it. You'll read a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But on opening day, I believe it will be there at the conventional date. And right now, that's all I care about. All right, coming up, Mike Tomlin, USC. I think Jordan Bomber let a little something out of the bag, and Tomlin had to step to the mic and say, tap the brakes, buddy. Do we believe him? We'll hit that coming up next, hour two.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.